asking the question.
Okay.
Where are all the systems?
3, 2, 1, behind.
Why? To me.
All right, councillors, I'd like to welcome you all to the first meeting for the calendar year 2025. Declare this meeting open. We don't have any visitors, we don't have any apologies, but we do have an application for
you see, that's the last word.
Okay.
Where we get to question time.
All right, so application for leave of absence, Councillor Sattler?
Yep, August, I'll be away on the African race.
Okay. Do I have a mover and a second for the approval, Councillor Sattler? I have leave of absence for August, Councillor Lawler, Councillor Ridgeway. All in favour? Thank you very much. Make nil. Declaration of interest, Councillor Martin, 11.7.
11.7.
11.7. Just need to note that. Public question time, we don't have any visitors, but from Alison Stevens, the question is, can we improve signage so tourists know what's open? And whilst we might have some sympathy with that, essentially, no, we can't. It's really a private enterprise, but an observation has been made that for businesses that do put their signs out as being open, but they're not, maybe they should be asked to remove them so that there's no confusion. We have the condolences of Michael Charles Hutchins and Bob Green, who passed away recently.
May I?
Yes.
Have you been informed that Sylvia Seddon passed away just recently? I was wondering if if you guys have become aware of that.
I haven't.
The family has to come see you to ask for the flag?
I'll see direct family.
I'll see Russell.
Just to let council know, Barry Johnson, who took over Danny's job for a while, he passed away on Monday night from cancer.
Oh.
So. Let's see. So moving on to the agenda, we have at 7.1 the officer's recommendation that the ordinary council minute meetings of Wednesday the 18th of December be confirmed. May I have a move on the second, please? Councillor Davis, Councillor Maxwell, were there any comments on those minutes? If not, all those in favour, please. Thank you. Moving to the minutes of the Audit Risk Committee, the officer's recommendation that this be received. And please have a move and a second for that. Councillor Ridgeway, Councillor Lawler, all in favour? Thank you, thank you. We're moving now on to 9.1 planning services. Hand over to the officer in charge, the officer's recommendation for that item. May I have a move and a second for that, please? Councillor Mark, Councillor Sattler. Okay, Stephen, 9.1, all over to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think the report is self explanatory. The request of departure from the child's household policy because the sea container that is being regarded as now holding as per the child's planning policy. As an outbuilding, that's 30 square meters of size, which brings the total outbuilding area on that lot to 70, whereas the policy only permits 200 square meters. I don't foresee an issue with it because of the replacement of the sea container on the property, the mitigating effects of landscaping, and the size of the subject property.
So what's he doing about the other sea tanks he's got there already?
My understanding is that those are temporary in nature and it will be removed.
They'll be removed?
Yeah.
Okay.
That is my understanding, Mr. Chairman.
Any questions to the town planner on that item? All those in favour for the motion, please raise your hand. Okay, no deal, thank you. 9.2, the road dedication, tip road. The officer's recommendation, may I have a movement second for that, please? Councillor Lawler, Councillor Davis. It seems a lot involved in this for a very simple resolution, I'm sure. Stephen, but over to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. My apologies, the letter to the DPLH that was attached to the was supposed to be only the letter, not all the gazillion attachments. It was my mistake, not at least that it got included in the email. sorry, in the council report. Essentially what's happened is that for the third time they've asked me for certain information on the application, the particular dedication, and maybe the wording of my response back to the department might have tripped them, because they came back with all sorts of funny things, and they asked me, so where's your, you indemnified the minister way back in 2015, where's your delegation to do that? Which I've seen them and they weren't happy with it, which is what this report is all about. But it goes back to an original request from our end in 2014. So 11 years has gone by, and yeah. Anyway, so just trying to please them so that we can conclude this process. The positive plan has been done. It's important for dealings. It's just this last obstacle that we need to get over with.
Any questions on this? All those in favour? Those opposed? Thank you. 9.3, development application for a kinesiology business in Queen Street. The officer's recommendation, I can move in a second, but that falls to Councillor Martin. Councillor Davis, Stephanie, again, over to you.
Thank you. So this is just a home business application for very limited use of a room in the existing building. I don't see any issues with it. It is permissible in a planning scheme, and none of the neighbours that were consulted had any issues with it.
Any questions?
What is kinesiology?
Kinesiology is some spiritual thing to do with the spine.
Signs of movement.
Sorry?
Signs of movement.
Okay.
Slightly different from physiotherapy.
Yes.
Quite different, but well, some spirituality as well. Anyway, that's what we're going to say to you. All those in favour? Thank you. 9.4, development application for an outbuilding. And may I please have a word of a second to the office recommendation. Councillor Maxwell, second again, over to you.
So they essentially just want to build a garage at the rear of their property. And by doing so, they will be removing two other outdated outbuildings and demolishing them. But even with that taken into consideration, they will go slightly over the maximum permissible size. Once again, the unique circumstances on the property would make me believe that it wouldn't be an issue.
Okay. I like the letter, actually, to distinguished council.
Stephen, with the conditions that are attached to that, should we approve it? He stated that he's going to remove that building number 3 once the new one's up. Well, should that not be a condition of the granting of this application that he does so? Because he'll go and build that back one, and he'll go, nah, that shed's still around, we'll leave there for a while.
I would be holding him accountable to the letter that he submitted, which will require the planning approval with an approved stamp on that.
Yep.
As well as condition number 1, that essentially says development shall be carried out only in accordance with the terms of this application as approved hearing and any approved plan prepared by the applicant and endorsed by the council's site plan.
That covers that point.
Mm-hmm. So the short answer is yes.
Yes.
Good. That's all. Are there any other questions? All those in favour? Thank you, Nathan. 9.5, infrastructure development fund. Now this is a proposed new workers accommodation which we're hoping to develop at Hunt Road. The recommendation, I'll give a second please, Councillor Martin, Councillor Ridgeway. Again, Stephen, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yeah, so this one is, this report resulted in a conversation that we had with the Department of Planning and Lands and Heritage towards the end of last year. Moving forward, they presented us, obviously we were successful in this grant application. We initially applied for a certain amount and they gave us less. But the way it was framed, the funding was framed, and this is part of the confidential attachment, it would still permit us to do most of the essential critical work, especially around the sewer, to be able to service not only that specific subject lot, but also the entire western section of the town, which in itself is a huge benefit for future development. It fits into the Beverly 2035 narrative. What I'm asking council to agree to is that the only way to move this forward is to go through an actual subdivision application process, because we need to engage with Western Power, we need to engage with Water Corporation to get the process going for actually installing those services. Yeah. They won't talk to us unless there's an active subdivision application at hand. We cannot ask Western Power to install four more dams for us because there's only a single lot that's presented us with numerous issues in the past. So that's the logic behind us having to go for a subdivision application. There is some cost obviously involved in that entire process, but there's also significant benefits in doing it like I'm proposing us approaches, because at the end of the day we will have saleable greenfield properties apart from meeting the requirement of creating four lots for four units to be used for key worker accommodation. All of that's got cost implications, which is, you know, I tried to capture there. In terms of the financial assistance agreement itself, which is confidential in nature, there's some time frames and payment milestones attached to that, which I strongly believe we can align with the subdivision process, the flow chart of which is included in my report. I'm asking council to agree to give the CEO the authority or delegate the authority so that he can make changes and negotiate and execute this agreement with the department to move it all forward. And to agree to the general concept of the staging of the development, to bring us to that point where we can deliver on the four units that we want to do.
I have one question, it's not related entirely to that, but in terms of the plan you've got there on the map, what's going to happen to that shed that serves as a garage for the residents?
If we do choose to survey and subdivide that, it's our prerogative, because we will be the owners of it. It's our prerogative. If we want to just let it stay like that for another 10 years, the lot will be there, it might be serviced.
Yeah.
It's of no consequence.
Questions?
So even though once it's serviced, that's our lot, we're still paying sewerage from there.
There will be
paying sewerage.
There will be there will be some service fee payable. Maybe not the usage fee if it's not developed, but there's bound to be a service fee, a base service fee payable. I'm not sure if that's the right terminology, but
right.
So that the financial assistance agreement is around funding undertake these headworks. Is that correct? Yeah. So, and once they're completed, we're aiming to build four houses. Is that correct?
That will happen parallel to one another.
Happening at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah. And then originally it was suggested when the negotiation went through for the financial assistance agreement, they were wanting us to undertake 8 to 10 units.
Correct.
So
how
does that sort of sit in?
Yes.
Can you explain that?
Yeah. So prior to us being awarded the grant in October last year, there were some discussions between the department and myself where they simply said that, look guys, you're essentially asking for this amount of money to build 4 houses, which was our original submission. And they said, well, it's a bit of a long shot because by comparison from other local governments, this is the amount of money that they seek for bulk infrastructure installation, but they provide or they commit to 15 units. I'm using a hypothetical example. So the ratio between the amount of money that they give and the deliverables, the number of units, you know, skewed in our unique circumstances, because we really wanted to have enough funding to bring sewage across to not only service this lot. So there was a point of critical mass I said to the department that if we don't get that money for the sewage, then this project in all probability won't happen. And then she came back to me and she said, well, okay, are you comfortable in maybe increasing the number of houses that you want to build? And I think you did come back to council, and council sort of agreed, okay, between 8 and 10. I went back with that figure, hoping that we would get the total amount that we originally requested in the bond funding. They came back to us to say that no, we still require you to build only 4 units as per your original submission, but you are going to get significantly less money for that. But the way they structured it in the financial assistance agreement is very cleverly done to benefit us. Of course, it would have cost that much to get the sewer across whether we bought 10 units or 4. And they've retained that amount exactly as per the original. They did us an enormous favor by doing it like that. Because there's other areas that we can cut funding from, like roads and servicing all the other lots that we will not be required to do now unless we choose to do so. So it's very, very cleverly to our benefit.
So at this point, we'll be getting the headworks in and undertaking the construction of 4 units.
Correct.
And then other units that's set the project down the track.
If we want to.
If we want to, yeah.
Yep.
So we've got this proposal is creation of 11 new lots. Yeah? And instead of 12?
So there will be 12 lots in total?
12 in total because of the Conroy Village is lot 1.
That's correct. So really, the first stage would be proposed lot 1 and 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yes. I see that. And I just know the query is to the north of the Hunt Road Village, that vacant land there that's next to the water pump station. In time, can we still put another row of Hunt Road Village type accommodation there?
We certainly can. We certainly can.
On lot 1.
On lot 1, yes.
Close lot 1.
Stephen, once you've got that sewer through, you'd hook the existing Hunt Road Village up in that. There's about 15 houses there, isn't there?
That's correct.
So they'll bring you their survey, they're going to get a lot more money with it for rates. So that might make it a bit more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So because it's going to pick them up, because that's going to go straight past there. It'll pick them up from there, which will go on to the sewer straight away.
There is a budget allocation to decommission the septic system of the Hunt Road, which is pumped up to the top of the lot. So there is a budget actually to decommission that.
Yeah.
But absolutely, the intention is indeed to link it up to the sewer system.
Yeah. That must take some pressure off it, surely. For use for the water core.
It probably would, yeah.
Any other questions?
All those in favour? Thank you. Thank you. Moving on to the financials. For December, initially, proper recommendation. Mover and seconder, please.
Yep.
Councillor Sapien. Councillor Brennan. Comments? Simon?
Not really. All I'd say is December's got a bit out of date. And then we'll address January's in the next item. So probably maybe more relevant to go through January's, and then we've also got a budget review to go through later on, so it'll be in December figures. So there's no pertinent questions to that report. Happy to take more, expand a bit more on the next item.
Okay. No questions, all those in favour? Thank you. Moving on to January, a little bit closer to where we are. Moving second to that recommendation from the Councillor Capital, Councillor Smart. Okay, again, it's over to you.
Yep, thanks, David. So there's some notes there to the material variances in line with our reporting policies. We've received a few more fees and charges for various operational facets, which is going quite well. And the biggest one, and one that's going to carry through probably for the rest of the financial year now is our earnings on investment. So I think I've said it before, but we've received a lot of grant funding in advance for a lot of projects, and it's been like multi-million dollar sort of dollars, and because we haven't expended it straight away, we've been hoping to invest that really to our benefit. So budgeted interest earnings are going to be, actual interest earnings are going to be a lot higher than what we budgeted for, just based on that fact. But yeah, that's probably just really unique to this financial year, and that we just had multiple projects coming online that we've been funded for, and that sort of gives us the money upfront, which is not generally the case. So just a bit fortunate, and it's been good too, because we've been getting pretty good interest rates. They have pegged back a little bit now, but we've really been investing in the sort of high 4% to low sort of 5%, so it's been quite good. We've been going over a few months and then dealing with some quite large sums. So that's been really beneficial. And then just from the capital side of things, one thing that's kind of raised its head now is this Bremner Road Bridge and potentially some penalty charges there in relation to the delay in that project, which is unknown at this stage, and we've just got to wait and see. But there could be some extra costs associated with that, which once we know, we'll look at trying to recoup the main roads, but that might just throw up a bit of variance when we get to it.
In terms of the liabilities with respect to annual leave-on service leave, the non-current liability, is that related to the current CEO, and will it be reducing it next month?
There's a few that have got long service leave and some still to take. I think Steve thinks it's got a few weeks as well.
Right.
So it's not just, it's just not
the CEO. Be reducing.
It will be reducing.
Okay. Any other questions? All those in favour? Thank you. Now, Council Payable Authority. We move to the seconder for the officer's recommendation. That's Councillor Sadler, Councillor Lawler. Thank you. I can open to councillors to go through that list and raise any queries that you might have. All those in favour? Thank you. Moving on to January, officer's recommendation. Move the seconder, please. Councillor Mark, Councillor Davis. Thank you. Do we have any queries on those list of payments? Very trusting.
And on behind the able was monitor relates to the other one, but there's another one here as well. So when we're paying for the fires that we have and the food, etc., that's been taken out to them, do we get reimbursed back through the
it gets allocated out to our ESL accounts, which is
so we get reimbursed through that account? The ESL account?
Well, we've got an allocation per year that's funded by the ESL. So it comes out of
so that. It's not coming out of rate base funds.
Any other questions? Queries? Concerns? No? All those in favour, please. Thank you. Thank you. So, moving on to the grants. Community grants, 11.5. Officer's recommendation. Further and seconder, please. Councillor Davis. Simon, over to you.
Yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward. So the Hockey Club wants some cash to get some new hockey goals. It's within the parameters of the funding arrangements.
Well, I guess the one Council needs to know here was because there's some funds unexpended, the view is there's money we put up for the community, and whilst it may not give a particular box, but to combine them in order to assist the Hockey Club.
Yeah.
Because this is the last grants for the year.
Yes, we should.
So that's
what
we're doing. All those in favour, please. Thank you.
Yeah.
What? Officer's recommendation. Move to a seconder, please. It was done?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to if it lapse for the one that moved in a second. Councillor Martin, we have a seconder. Councillor Martin Ridgway. Well, I'm going to throw my
superintendents with, and I think this is an absolute load of rubbish. And the arguments behind superannuation for councillors are so weak, it borders on absolutely pathetic. The motion that's been brought forward by the convention and central company's owners that will encourage more women to join council. Well, my view is if they only join for the superannuation, we don't want any of them.
Can we just not accept it and say that you don't
want it? I'm voting against it.
I guess if you vote against it, it's lost and then it doesn't pass through.
So. Good. Well, I don't think that we. It'd be more work for our administration, and we're a band for a show, so we're not opening down to staff that can just pick up all these things. And I know you might argue that it's just a matter of a few adjustments, but superannuation for council members to me just goes beyond the pale. I mean, we're here for our community.
That's right.
For money grabbing. So what are you going to get at the end?
Well, 10% of
if you're not receiving $500 for your superannuation at the end of it.
So my comment is that I don't actually agree with it either, but I did want to just point out that previously on council, not so much with superannuation, but just with the sitting fee, we've had councillors who have chosen not to take it, which that's fine and that's the choice. However, my view is that if they don't take it, other people might need to, but they don't feel like they should. So there could be an argument for that in regard to the superannuation as well, in terms of people's entitlement. However, the amount of money that we're talking with a band 3 and band 4 is irrelevant, so we need to make the choice as a council as to whether we accept it or not, and if it's a majority that opposes it, well, that's the case for our council. And I also agree that the administration component of it in our particular situation would be ridiculous.
Well, in fairness, there'll be a new council on the 19th of October, and if at their first meeting they wish to rescind this and pay them, that's entirely their prerogative. So what, basically what we're doing at the moment is probably just putting a hold on it for 6 months or so. So all those in favour? Yes, to pay it. All those in favour of that recommendation? All those against? Aye, Bill. Thank you. Okay, 11.7, the start-up contribution request for the Deputy Ruler Care Group. Okay, the officer's recommendation. All those in move to second the please. Councillor Davis. Councillor. Excellent, thank you. Simon?
I'm not really. There's no specific budget for it, but there's funds in a community initiative account that we use towards it.
Okay. Any questions for Simon on this? It's just a bit of a one-off, and we've done our best to try and ensure that whilst this is a one-off, we necessarily accommodate a community group to have got their hearts in the right place.
Well, you know, you look at what the Friends of the Dale have done out there, and you know, it's bringing people together. And this would be exactly the same.
That's a no-brainer. Absolutely.
And it's already pointed out in the information provided here, it's actually going to be beneficial to council by having this group established as well.
Yes. Any other comments or questions? All those in favour? Thank you. Now, the budget review. This was vetted by the Audit Risk Committee at its meeting, and the recommendation from that committee is that the review be adopted and forward to the part of local government. May I move a second level recommendation, please, Councillor Brown. It's just a one page on community management. I'm bringing forward that summary that you see there. Behind that, there is a whole bunch of detail that could have been forwarded, which would have blinded you through reading, but I think that covers everything. So, anyone who wasn't on the order of this committee have any questions or comments? If not, may I have a vote? All those in favour, please. Thank you, Catherine. The use of the common seal. The officer's recommendation, Form 142, disbursement authority, cost disclosure in relation to the sale of lot 230 Vincent Street, Beverly. Moving a second on that, please. Councillor Mark, Councillor Ridgway. All those in favour? Thank you. I
identification of the dog exercise area. Officer's recommendation, if I can find it. May I have a move in a second, please? Councillor Davis.
Councillor Waller.
Okay, open discussion, councillors.
I understand that we don't have a formalised area of people that currently use the oval, so we do need some sort of formal approach so that they're not actually using it illegally. I do have concerns though with people using the oval area with their dogs off the leash, especially when we advertise that it is a designated dog exercise area. If we have situations where kids might be coming after school or kicking a footy or something like that, dogs can act quite differently when they see that fast movement or when there's a ball around or if someone's jogging on the oval or something. So probably I can understand the reason behind this. I do have concerns about it and the opportunity for finding a designated specifically for dogs off the lead probably can't come soon enough as far as I'm concerned for those residents that are living in the town environment.
Councillor Brown.
I thought that we visited this when we were talking about down near the school and the road harvesting system, that between the pool and the pony club, and have we backed away from that, or are we still contemplating it at least? Or
yeah, I'm not too sure where we're at that.
Right.
Our state is looking at that. So it's interesting or not. But I guess this has been raised about designating this area as a dog exercise area because it's now used as one.
Well, I totally understand that, but
I guess the issue is that so now we've had a few complaints about there from dog owners' interactions with other dogs and whatever else, but the ranger is hamstrung a little bit because they can't really enforce anything because it's not a designated area, so by rights, really, there shouldn't be any dogs down there off a lead.
Yeah.
And, how far we want to go with all of that. So at least designating this area now, as it's being used, I think historically it's always been, I think, known as the area that you can let your dogs off the leash.
Yeah,
it just has never been formalised, as kind of required under the Dog Act.
Yeah, well, most people, I'm out of town, so do most people that go down there, do they take their dog off to a corner and...
I used to take our dog down and just load her up and she's around and beat up with other dogs and was never a problem.
There's a group of people now that use it consistently, almost daily. They take their meat down there, do whatever, let their dogs run around, socialise and then pack up and go home.
A bigger issue is the uncollected dog food.
Yes, well that was before too.
We always have to walk around and pick this bad stuff up that hadn't been picked up. It's really bad. No, that's more of a concern, that's right.
Yeah.
But I think having a designated area might actually pull people in line and get them a little more disciplined in collecting this. Because the bins are there, the bags are there. Have we resolved the bag issue?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. Are there any other questions?
Well, we're just waiting on supply because we're waiting on them for it to come in. So it was always happening. It's just a little bit of impatience. So.
Any other comments or questions? All those in favour, please. Thank you. Thank you. The compliance is concerned. Again, that has been vetted by the Audit Risk Committee, and the recommendation is there in front of us. So I might have a move in a second for that recommendation, please, Councillor Sutherland, Councillor Lord. From the Audit Risk Committee, there was really nothing of concern for us other than some no answers, to which we received a perfectly acceptable response, but generally this report, which unfortunately comes at this time of the year, but in my view it should come in as part of the final order because it would make a complete program for the audit and make more sense for the final order. So I continue to push this with the Auditor General, and I've been with so far, so so are there any questions on the audit return? No. All in favour, please. Thank you. All right, now the JLT Public Sector Cyber Security Report. Again,
from the Water Committee that this received the report from the JLT Public Sector, the security, getting the words mixed up here. Move in a second of that, please. Councillor Martin, Councillor Maxwell. Again, the committee didn't actually go through it because the question we raised was there were lots of red areas there which were of general concern. Are we really falling behind? Are we really suspect to security breaches? And I'll let Simon give the answer that he gave to the audit committee to explain it better than I can.
So this report was based on our annual cyber security questionnaire that we submit to our insurers. So this is actually a report produced by JLT, but it's through LGIS and that renewal. And probably the answers submitted last year were probably not up to date, not reflective of what we're currently doing at the moment anyway, because there's some costs involved with answering these questionnaires because they're quite technical. So we get our IT contractors to answer them and they charge us for their time, rightly or wrongly. But that's where we're at. So I guess your idea of trying to save a few bucks just submitted last year's answers. But it turns out that we've done some improvements in any case. So a lot of those red areas we actually are covering off and ticking off. So without going into like too much detail, it's probably not as bad as it looks. In any case, it's just reflective of how we answer those questions. That's as a bit reviewed, nobody's actually come in and done an assessment on us. It's just based on responses to those questions.
Well, through our responses.
Through our insurance renewal, which is based on old answers that we've had our IT devices. Right. So that's sort of how it's come about. And I've sent it back to our IT guys and asked them just to have a look through, review, and just comment on the red areas and decide whether, you know, this is bad as it kind of looks or whether it's bad. And they sort of came back and said, well, you know, you're ticking a lot more boxes now than you were. And we have invested a lot of money in our IT security, all the stuff that we're doing, you know, of late. You know, all the antivirus and all the backups, firewalls, and that all costs money on a monthly basis. It's all software as a service now, so council is investing money on those safeguards. So I'm pretty happy with where we're at for our size of organisation and the resources that we've got available to us. I think we're doing pretty well in terms of the cyber security stuff. So yeah, a good, maybe just quick glance to say, quickly now we're looking based on that matrix module, but of course it's only as good as I guess the data that it's working on. So this year we're going to update our answers, and then if this is run again, we should hopefully see a bit more green in there.
And I'd just like to comment that Beverly Sharp ever sits when we're looking at the LGIS average for this current financial year and for last year. We're in the mix of everyone knows, so everyone's in the same boat. Okay. I suggest there's a lot of red, but it's not bad.
Yeah, I think it's across the board. It's one of those kind of things where it's really a huge industry's been built on this sort of stuff. And the insurers are obviously quite worried about it. We have had an incident where, you know, we recovered through a backup and really wasn't that bad, so I'm a little bit sceptical of the whole push and then the threat. And really, the biggest issue is people making mistakes. That's like clicking links on emails or something like that. So we consciously try to just have reminders about just if something looks dodgy on an email or whatever, don't click on anything.
Just delete it.
If you don't know it, just delete it. Or then go and ask someone or ask our IT guys to have a look at it. Because that's really where you can have all the systems in the world, all the software and whatever, but it's that human factor where it's been proven that that's kind of the weak point in anything that you do. How can you really guard against that except for education?
And the secret is don't just delete, but then go into the delete box and delete all of them. So it's actually
quite wonderful.
Just to give everyone assurance that
all these things are in place. The fact is cyber security will never ever be 100%. We're always going to have problems. Recently, my accountant rang me and said my tax file number had been hacked and the tax return had been lodged in my name, claiming a $10,000 refund. So fortunately, I used a tax agent, which meant the ATO immediately picked up. This didn't come from a tax agent, so my tax file number is now locked and won't be released until the inquiries are going to. So cybersecurity is just never going to be overcome completely. And I was listening to a talk from a guy the other day, and his concern is that as artificial intelligence develops, the risks behind artificial intelligence being used to hack your systems is a complete unknown. And if that happens, then we're all in trouble. So maybe we go back to pen and paper and smoke signals and we'll be secure. Are there any other questions on that report, which I think is a very good one, to alert us to the issues it faces?
No.
May I have a vote on that, please? All in favour of that? Thank you very much indeed. Moving on, I'd like to the members' motions. None has been given. There's no new business for arising by order of the meeting. Therefore, I thank you all for your attendance and close the meeting at a quarter to four.
All my thanks.
I don't know what everyone else.